Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
NBA Strayer, how are you going? How are you going? It is Tuesday, May 14. May the 14th be with you. Wait a second. I'm your host, James Clements. You can also see my ugly mug on the official AFL Supercoach podcast, the AFL Today Show, and of course, Fox Sports Lab NBA, all the good stuff. Here in Larry Armour Studios today, breaking down two epic Game 4s. Were they epic, Jim? Kind of. That Dallas OKC one was a bit of a ripper. So we're going to break those down in the game wraps. We've got That's Not a Knife, All Mate, No Mate, Spud of the Night, Better Than Lonzo Ball. We've got some Yanars. We've got some cracking Yanars, the unpopular opinion of the day, and Outback Takeouts. We're serving up a flame grilled steak. There is a combination, Andrew Gay's Grand Mum Award and a, the Luke Longley Memorial Role Player of the Week Award, which is good. I like combining the two. We'll check out the Australian Player Watch because, I mean, look, we've got Aussies playing against each other today. That was fun. And then we'll pick and preview the two games tomorrow. That should be good. Is it, Jim? Yes. Yes, it will be. Trust me. It'll be very good. All right. Without further ado, we'll also finish up with a daily review just because. Let's do it. Episode 1096 of NBA Australia. Let's go.
G'day, this is Andrew Gaze, and you're listening and watching NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
Ah, you better. Oh, look, the Shaq attack is all well and good. You got the Draymond attack today, which is kind of weird. It's fun, right? We're kind of like, Draymond's got a personality. He'll be fun on media. I feel like we overlooked the part that he just sucks as well. It's like, he's got a personality. Yeah, but he's also a knobhead. Here we are. Anyway, the Shaq thing as well. The last other thing that I wanted to bang on about the SGA, Jokic, Shaq thing.
Jokic, I don't think he should have won MVP. I vote for SGA. So it's not a problem.
And you're like, Shaq, can you say your words properly?
So, no, I can't.
Yeah, like, all right, buddy. The one thing I did think about was, like, can you imagine how angry Shaq would have been if somebody had done that to him or a player that he liked?
You got to show some respect. Put some respect in. That's a three-time MVP you talk about there. That's a big man.
Like, it's chaos to me. If, like, somebody had done that after Shaq won his MVP, it was like, hey, Shaq, I don't think you deserve that. He's like, you just made an enemy for life. I'm going to kill you. And you're like, all right, good job. Just weird. Like, the weirdest part is he's going to turn around. If the Denver Nuggets pull off the series win, like, the next time he's back on, Jokic, like, will be just sort of standing there and checking, be like, Jokic, I always knew you could do this. It was probably me who, like, made sure that I lit a fire on you and you, I really spurred you on to great things because I'm Shaq. And you're like, all right, this guy sucks. All right. Anyway, it's just, geez, Jim, is it bugging you? Yes, I love Shaq. I thought that was so Bush League. And just, like, completely taking the shine away from an incredible year from Joker. Anyway, just weird and dumb. Anyway, let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Show with the Daily. It's a whip around as a gym. Yes. The one thing I forgot to yell about yesterday was the Jamal Murray, Kevin Harlan moment after the half-court shot that he made at the halftime buzzer. Just yelling and just, like, posing in front of Kevin Harlan and Kevin Harlan just like, Jamal Murray, yes! And just, like, losing his mind. It's good. It was awesome. What an awesome moment. And then you got the different camera angles of Reggie Miller just like literally knocked back in his seat, go, like losing it. It was awesome. What a great moment that was. Other little bits of news. There's only sort of apparently, the only news we get today apparently is just essentially, I don't know, Laker related. Because LeBron went to the Cleveland game today. That was kind of cool. Went to game 4. That was nice. It also came out today that the Lakers are willing to basically pay whatever it costs to keep LeBron. Windhorse was out there saying, yep, I expect him to stay a Laker. I expect him to opt out and he'll get paid even more money. I think the report was out there. Look, yeah, the Lakers are willing to pay what it costs, including drafting his kid. The crap one, Bronny. I'm going to talk about this again later because it's very fun. But also, if we're going to stick with the Lakers and that entire idea of Bronny James, Bronny James has actually sort of gone through a physical and stuff like that. So he's been cleared physically after, obviously, his pretty crazy, like, heart problem and stuff like that, right? So that's good. I don't know if he's any good at basketball, but he did hit 11 straight threes. So that was good. How weird. You know what I... Look, draft combine vibes. It is... Look how good this guy is. It's like, is he playing against people? It's like the Jan Vasili against a chair workout. Or, yeah, oh no, that was Yi Jianlian, right? The Chinese bloke. Man, he dominated that chair. Jan Vasili got drafted because his girlfriend was smoking hot. There we go. What an awesome array of Washington Wizards draft picks I just listed off. And then you got Johnny Davis. What a world. They are so bad, the Wizards. They just... Anyway. The other little bits and bobs. Lakers coaching search has begun. I feel like you should probably start before you fire your coach. You know, just put a couple of feelers out there. Hey, JJ, what do you think? Because that's right, JJ Redick is on that list. The initial interview list, apparently also Chris Quinn. You might remember him from the Miami Heat. He's also now an actual assistant coach there in the Miami Heaters because they just never let anyone go. Alonzo Mourning, he's like just trapped by Pat Riley nonstop. And James Borrego of the Pelicans, which I think that's hilarious. So, hey, weren't you fired by the Hornets? Hey, come be the Lakers coach.
The Lakers!
Hired James Borrego? Don't do it, James. It's a trap.
It's a trap!
You better believe it. All right. The other little bits and bobs floating around that everyone is basically, can we fire it up? Ring, ding, 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 ding. The Pelicans are probably expected to explore the trade market for Brandon Ingram. Ring, ding, 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 ding. Oh, duh! You mean the guy who didn't show up at all during the playoffs and was not a good fit next to Zion the entire season? Gee, I for one am shocked. Shocked, I tell you, that they might kick the tires on trading Ingram. Amazing. The big question for me is, would the Pelicans accept the number one pick for Brandon Spindles Ingram from Atlanta? Probably. Would you do that trade if you're Atlanta? Yes. I don't think there's anyone really in that draft where you're like, oh, he's better than Ingram. Ingram feels like a great bloody fit next to Trae Young and DeJounte Murray. Apart from the, hey, I don't really shoot threes sneakily vibe. Anyway, let's do some game rest from today, shall we? Because we've got like literally an entire offseason to talk about all this sort of gear. And we'll get to that. When it's, you know, when we've got no actual games to talk about. Let's talk about some games. Game wraps, game wraps, game wraps, game wraps! Game wraps, that's right. Boston 109 beat Cleveland. Oh, jeez.
Cleveland!
102. No Donny Mitchell in this game. Cleveland put up a fight. Because is it more Cleveland putting up a fight or Boston just expertly crapping down their pants legs, Jim? I would say the latter. Because, wow, Boston are just like, hey, are we leading? Is it the fourth quarter? All right, let's just not pass the ball or run any plays. Now, I'm not a head coaching candidate for the Los Angeles Lakers or anything, but I suspect when it gets to the fourth quarter, your basketball team should probably run some basketball plays. Jason Tatum's like, nah, I'm not going to pass this, bro. Check out this six-step back isolation. It's a wicked long two. And you're like, I don't know if that's the right call there, Jason. And Joey Muzz is just standing there on the sideline going, oh, I love you, Jason. Jason, that was a sick shot. Hey, man, do you want to go wash the town after this, bro? Like, that'd be really sick, man, because, like, I love the town, eh? He's like, hey, Joey, you're in a playoff game. He's like, nah, man, these boys have got it, bro. It's sick as, eh? We're all going to go wash the town after this. I love you, Jason. Hey, Jalen, I also love you, but just not as much as Jason, I'm just saying. Hey, who wants to do jiu-jitsu? I love Joey Muzz. Seriously, he's like, oh, I've never met a timeout I'd like to call. Oh, he's like, oh man, I just want to see him all play through it, bro. You're like, I don't know if that's a good plan either, Joey Muzz. Anyway, weird one. The Cavs sort of got off to like a really slow start. Tatum was crushing it. They got up really, it was like a 19-2 run after the initial burst by the Cavs. They grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck early to your beloved Boston Celtics. Then my man Sam Merrill goes bang, hits a couple of threes, boom. Cavs are right back in it. Tatum was absolutely shredding there. 16 points in the first quarter. Didn't do much in the first bit of the second quarter, but then sort of got going again. I think he ends up with like 23 points in the half because he had like 7 late points in that quarter that really just settled Boston back down, right? Like it was 37-30 after the first quarter. Pritchard did a couple of threes. Strusen did a couple of threes. Garland did not score. And you're like, geez, that seems like it's a problem. Considering you don't have Donnie Mitchell, you'd be right. So they hit, I think, a franchise record 11 threes in the first half. Despite my sweet baby, Caris LeVert, going 0-4. Maxi Strus ends up hitting 5 threes in that first half. It was sick. Cavs went on this 13-2 run in the middle of that quarter to get it close. Then Tatum sort of rips off that bit at the end. 0 points for Derek White, which is the weird thing for the Celtics, right? Because the Celtics, look, they go as Derek White goes usually. It didn't matter today because Jason Tatum's like, here's 23 points and a half. Sucked in. You're like, oh, that's a pretty good way of like balancing out the lack of D White. Pretty good. 62-57 and a half. Then, slow start for the Celtics. Color me shocked. You turn around, the Cavs are just like absolutely crushing it. They got up 65-64. And then
Cleveland
did not score for another 3 minutes. And that was basically the game. Because Brown and Tatum, they sort of like went back and forth. Horford hit a shot in there as well, right? And you're like, aha, found money. And then Derek White finally hits his only three of the game. Holiday hits a huge three as well. His offensive game in these last two outings has been immense for the Celtics. I love that Drew Holiday's like, the closer I get back to the Midwest, the better I am. It's pretty weird, but good on him. And a big run by the Celtics at the end of the third basically takes the air out of the building. And he had like a back and forth sort of fourth quarter. I think it was 88-78 going into the fourth, right? And you're like, 10 points is not that imposing in the modern NBA, as the Oklahoma City Thunder proved all game in theirs, which we'll talk about in a second. But by the time, like,
Cleveland!
They just really lacked that Donnie Mitchell killer instinct, right? But Boston let them back in the game because that's what Boston does. Like, it was crazy. Like, it was a back and forth early in this fourth quarter. Holiday smokes another three, though. Boston go, shit, we're up 15. This is great. Jaylen Brown hits another shot. It's a 98-83 lead. And then they just chilled. They just went, oh, we're really good when we pass the ball. Let's just stop doing that. It was a 12-2 Cavs run out of nowhere. Boston goes full ISO ball. The only points they scored from like the 8-minute mark to the 4-minute mark of the fourth quarter were 2 free throws from Jaylen Brown. I don't know. Hitting 0 field goals in like 5 fourth quarter minutes is certainly something. It ends up 195. And you're like, Jesus, are Boston actually going to cook this? Tatum gets this weird rubbish junk bucket under the basket. Puts him back up 102-95. Boston grift for some fouls. JB gets it. But the biggest takeaway, look, Boston, same as Dallas, they just can't do anything easy, it feels like, because they just have this weird tendency to go, hey, what was working? Screw that. We're going to go do something different. ISO ball. I'm Michael Jordan. Look at me. I'm Kobe. And you're like, don't do it. Ah, they're doing it. Every Celtics fan I know is like messaging me, go, Jim, what is going? This sucks. I hate it. And I'm like, I agree. And I find it hilarious. Ah, Boston, never changed. The biggest part was obviously the Cleveland lacking that other sort of score. Like, my sweet baby was pretty good today. Caris had 19 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. He shot 9 of 18. He went 1 of 8 from downtown, though, right? And Mobley at 19 and 9, very handy. Strus chucked in 15, 7 and 7. You might remember, had 5 threes in the first quarter. First half. That's right, did not score in the second half. Brutal gear. And Garland, 30 points in 3 quarters. He didn't score in the first quarter. Just imagine if he had of. 30 points, 7 assists, 12 of 27 he ends up shooting. Has a pretty rough stretch there. 4 of 13 overall. Played a pretty good game. He was a plus 1 all up Darius Rucker, Judy Garland. They do lose it by 7 points, like 109-102. But a really, really rollicking sort of game where if they had gotten to the free throw line, who knows what would have happened there, because they shot 7 total free throws. That is less than both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown alone. They both shot more free throws individually than the Cleveland, that's right,
Cleveland
Cavaliers did as a team. Not great, Darius. Not great, Maxi Strus. Not great, Mobley. You got to force the action at some point, right? Dean Wade, he goes 1-4 from downtown. Niang goes 1-2 from 3. Sam Merrill hit those 2 threes and then missed everything else. He went 2-7 from downtown. Isaac Okoro, 1 of 8. If those shots aren't dropping, how do you manufacture buckets, Jim?
Get to the bloody line.
I do appreciate that their entire approach is like, look, the only way we're going to beat Boston without, you know, Donnie Mitchell is by just nailing a crap ton of threes. They tried their absolute hardest. 15 of 48 from downtown. The problem was they only hit 4 of those in the second half. Yeah, backup plan negated. The Celtics only 12 of 32 from downtown versus the 15 of 48. But still, they went 21 of 24 at the free throw line. Big difference. Tatum, 33, 11 and 5. He was really good. 11 of 24 from the floor. JB, Jaylen Brown, 27, 8 and 1.
That's one assist. Oh,
haven't met an assist I wouldn't want to give up. 9 of 15 from the floor, 2 of 3 from downtown. He was very handy. He had some questionable shots where you're like, what was... You probably make a pass there, Jaylen. Just saying. Fourth quarter ISO. He's like, nah, man, I'm Kobe. All right, buddy. 16, 7, and 5 for Jrue Holiday. Very, very, very timely buckets from Jrue Holiday, as per usual. Love that he's popped off in the last two games. Derek White, 5 points. It's weird. I don't know if he and Jrue Holiday pissed in the same fountain and Freaky Friday themselves, but here we are. 1 of 4 from 3. 1 of 6 overall. Brutal. 6 and 6 for Horford. The bench wasn't great. Was it 11? Well, Pritchard was good. 11 points for him. 9 and 6 for Cornette. Sam Hauser was just like, what am I doing out here again? Everyone's like, we don't know. Luckily, Jrue Holiday was really good. Anyway, Boston go up 3-1 in that series, as you sort of expected, as we all sort of predicted. Would have been better if you're a Boston fan, is to see that fourth quarter ass kicking when they got up 15 to not then put the fucking pool cue in the rack and go, ah, that's all right, we've already won this game. No, you haven't. It's not finished. And Cleveland, if only they had an extra scorer, I don't know, like Donovan Mitchell, they might have had a bit of a crack, a bit of a shame. Anyway, Celtics, one win away from the Eastern Conference Finals. Finals, finals. Out west, Dallas hosted Oklahoma City and controlled this game until they did not. Uh-oh. What's that sound, Jim? Ah, it's Dallas pooping their pants. 100. The Oklahoma City Thunder beat the Mavericks 96 despite basically not leading at any point of this game. No, seriously. The way it felt was that, like, Dallas had this team at arm's length the entire time. I tweeted out at one point in the fourth quarter, though, this is the classic Mavs. What actual lead feels safe for the Dallas Mavericks? Because, you see, the big difference is this year they could play defense, except when it matters, and then they can't hit shots and it all falls apart. Thank you, Jason Kidd. but the point being, they kept it at arm's length the entire time. What's the over-under for, like, when you're comfortable as a Mavs fan? It's got to be, like, 28 points. Like, there's not enough possessions in the rest of this game for them to claw back from 28 and we don't score, right, if you're a Mavs fan. The Thunder, I think in the first quarter, it was... they got off to a nice little hint of a start. I think it was, like, they were up 4-2. I don't know if they led again. Yeah, I don't think they did. And because Dallas sort of got off to a nice little start, like Giddy scored early, got run off the three, hits the mid-ranger instead. It sort of just like wobbles in and out and falls in. You're like, oh, that's good. And then he misses a corner three and you're like, oh God, here we go. As I tweeted out, tongue in cheek, I don't think this is the series for Josh Giddy. Like everyone's burying his NBA career. He needs a new team. It's like, I don't know. He also just needs to hit some fucking shots. It also doesn't help their rebound. They got absolutely smashed on the glass for the vast majority of this game until when it mattered again in the fourth quarter when they actually went, hang on a second, we should try to get some rebounds. Giddy, you feel like would help that, having their really giant rebounding guard out there. But still, really solid Dallas start. They had, it was like 9-0 run. They're up 16-6. PJ Hamilton, Washington hits another three. It's up 19-8. Derek Jones Jr. hits another one. It's 22-8. You're like, oh, geez, that's probably not great. Goal. And it sort of just went from there. Like, Dallas just kept them, like, between 7 and 10 points away. Arm's length, as I said, right? The entire game. That was it. They got up 14 points, like, early. And it never got above that again. And that is always a massive worry for Dallas. Because, you know, well, Kyrie's not feeling it. We know that he can go off at any point. But at the same point, like, you're sitting there throughout the third quarter, basically just trading buckets. Like, they got it to what was, like, after the first quarter, I think it was 30 to 20. Kyrie had 0 points. It was no problem because Derek Jones Jr. had like 7. It's 44-33 halfway through the second quarter. Kyrie still had 0 points, but he had 7 assists. You're like, that's good. How many assists did he have after that? Jim? 2. Yeah, it's not great. OKC's offense was the problem at that point. It was like literally SJ or nothing. I think they were 1 of 10 from downtown at that point. The one make was from Josh Giddey, where it just sort of just fell in. You're like, ah, that was weird. Cool. Still, it was only 46-39 because Dallas's offense was spluttering a little bit, but they'd go, like, this just kept happening all game. It'd get down to 7. PJ Hamilton, Washington had hit a 3. Derek Jones Jr. had hit a 3. Something would happen. They'd hit a 3. Dallas got like a silly shot from Kyrie with a minute to go. SJ answers. He's got his 12 points. Luka hits a stupid 3. And Chet Dort, there's like this big block party at the end of the second quarter. Dallas had hit 10 threes in the first half. OKC had gone 1 of 11. Brutal. And Dallas only led 54-43. There you go, 11 points. And just they could never stretch that lead out in that third quarter. The Mavs, like, it'd be a couple of turnovers. A 10-point game would be back to 7. It'd be back to 4. The thing that kept saving Dallas was PJ Hamilton, Washington. He'd get them back up 10. He'd hit another 3. But they'd also play a half-decent little bit of defense here and there where you're like, yeah, this scrambling defense is awesome. Kyrie's really trying. PJ would splash another 3. SGA would respond. OKC, but just they kept it within pissing distance the entire time, right? And then just before the end of the third, you got a massive 3 from Cason Wallace. It's a 4-point game. Greeny misses a 3 up the other end. 69, nice. 65, Dallas lead. And they build it back out because, of course, they did. Luka hits some shots. He's complaining. And this is where it hits a massive, massive point of demarcation. A line of demarcation for Luka is like, I'm actively sabotaging my team by complaining so much to the refs that they're just like, actually, idiot, fuck you, get back on defense. Meanwhile, he's still yelling at the refs. They're playing fucking 5-on-4 at the other end and nailing open threes. Seriously. Jalen Williams gets an and-one in there. SGA gets going. 7 minutes to go. It's still a 7-point game, but then it's a 4-point game because no Dallas lead is ever safe. A bad Derek Jones Jr. missed 3. OKC missed, but Dallas can't get the rebound. Boom. SGA hits it. It's a 2-point game. Here we go. Washington misses one. They get the O-board. Luka misses a 3. SGA hits that shot from behind the backboard. It's a tied game. 86-86. Absolutely chaotic vibes. It was absolutely unreal. Kyrie misses. Chet hits a 3. It's a 9-0 run by the Thunder. I think the Mavs had missed 6 straight shots at that point. Turned the rebounding battle completely around to the point where I think they had the advantage at this point. Dort hits a 3. OKC are up 4. Hardaway answers. 92-91. 2 minutes to go. J-Dub has a weird little double dribble. Double dribble? There you go. Use your words, Jim. Double dribble, kind of. Kind of got a little bit deflected. Just goes through the guts. Dunk. Boom. Hardaway turnover. Williams dunks again. Thunder up 5. Oh, Lord. What are you doing, Mavs? Then it all just falls apart because Derek Lively misses a free throw. They're up 96-92. OKC cooked this. OKC went, see that door over there for you, Dallas? Let's just open that a little bit. We'll kick it ajar. Just boom. Because they take 20 seconds of dribbling, a horrible shot. Derek Jones Jr. gets a lob from Luka. Beautiful lob. Really quick 2 points. 96-94. OKC still lead. All down to the Dallas defense. SJ takes a shot. It's like 98% of the way in and then somehow rolls back out. You're like, God, OKC can't take a goddamn trick here. Luka is fouled with 10 seconds left. He basically trips over his own fucking feet, but he also hit a 3 earlier in the game where he tripped over his own feet and hit it. It was nuts. He's fouled with 10 seconds left. Has the chance to tie it all up. 10 seconds left. Put all the pressure on Oklahoma. Nope, he misses the first free throw. Oh, I've got a sore leg. I don't know. I feel like you spent, I don't know, 68% of your energy bitching and moaning and sooking to the fucking refs, Luka. There was a moment where he was like yelling at a ref while Oklahoma City were taking a 3 and he was also grabbing his knee instead of like actually trying to fucking close out and play defense. Guess what? They hit their fucking 3. Anyway, he misses the free throw. Hits a second. At that point, Dallas are 11 of 21 on free throws. 96-95. Now they got a foul. They got 0 timeouts. Chet, he gets fouled. He hits both. They're up 3. They then basically have to go, right, what are we doing? PJ Hamilton, Washington misses his first free throw as well. Hits the second one, leaves them down three. It's like, what are we doing here? You got to miss that second one, get the rebound because you've got no timeouts. And then once they get the ball back, okay, so after that, Hamilton, PJ Hamilton, Washington hit three, hit free throw. They completely cook it. They're up three. Boom. Packer up, boys. No, up two, wasn't it? Yeah. What do? They inbound the ball. SGA calmly sinks both these free throws. The game is over. Amazing gear. Absolutely amazing. So it actually works out where there's like a weird foul on SGA after Chet hits the free throws, right? They're like, don't let Kyrie and Luka hit a three. We're up three. Foul. And SGA's like, fucking, oh, yeah. Luckily, PJ's like throwing the ball to Tim Hardaway when he's actually fouled rather than shooting it, or else it should have been a three-point shooting foul. Anyway, PJ screws it all up, misses the hits the second one, misses the first free throw, just completely back to front. What are you doing? They cooked it. They don't foul straight away. It kills two more seconds off the end of the clock. SGA hits his two free throws and the game is over. It's hard to sort of go, wow, you completely screwed the pooch on this one, Dallas. But at the same time, it's not because you completely screwed the pooch. 12 of 35 from downtown, 40% from the field, 12 of 23 at the free throw line. 12 of 23. That is K bloody otic. 12 of 23. The Mavericks went 20, the Thunder rather, went 23 of 24. Dallas, what are you doing? PJ Hamilton, Washington shot 7 of 19 overall, 5 of 11 from downtown, 21 points. Took a couple of nice little weird runners in the paint. Everything else missed. 12 rebounds. Luka, horrible. 6 of 20. 6 of 20. Again, as I said, if he had spent a little bit less time fucking bitching and moaning and sooking, he might have been okay. 12 rebounds, 10 assists, 7 turnovers, one of the worst triple-doubles you'll ever see because it was wildly, wildly non-impactful. Kyrie, completely MIA in this game. What did I say earlier? In the second quarter, he had 7 assists and 0 points. He ends up with 9 points and only 9 assists. 4 of 11 shooting, absolutely MIA. This is why you've always got to like couch your things about, oh, Kyrie's been incredible these playoffs. And yeah, and then he'll just chuck in two stinkers like the last couple of games. Amazing. Derek Jones Jr. had 17. He had 4 blocks. He went 1 of 5 from 3, though. Gafford, 10 and 8 with 3 blocks. Derek Lively, he was very lively. 7-6-2, but 1 of 3 at the free throw line. And this was the problem. PJ Hamilton, Washington, 2 of 4 at the free throw line. Derek Jones Jr., 2 of 4. Gafford, 2 of 4. Kyrie, 1 of 2. Luka, 4 of 6, including that backbreaker at the end. And Derek Lively, 1 of 3. So 52% from the free throw line. You lose a game by 4 points. You literally left 9 points at the line. What are you doing? You cooked it. Ah, Mavs. Thunder, only 7 of 27 from downtown. They still, look, I've talked about this time and time again, right? The Thunder, the 3-point shooting off the bench is always wildly critical. Case and Wallace hit 2 threes. And that was it off the bench. 0 of 3 for Isaiah Joe. 0 of 3 for Aaron Wiggins. 0 of 1 for Kenrick Williams. And you're like, ha, they got 12 total points off the bench. So the Mavs win that battle. It was everything else that they completely cooked. Chet Holmgren, 18 and 9 with 4 blocks. Love that. Shot 6 of 9. Nice from the floor. Jalen Williams could not buy a bucket for most of this game. Ends up 5 of 19 and 4 of 4 at the line. He had 14 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 bloody steals. Chaos. I think it was 2 of 14 shooting at one point. Brutal. Josh Giddey, 5 points. Giddey up. 2 assists. Giddey up. 1 steal. Giddey up. 1 block. Giddey up. 2 turnovers. Boo. 2 of 8 shooting in 12 minutes. Boy. That is shit. It's not great. It's not great. Lou Dort, 4 of 14 shooting. 3 of 10 from downtown. 17 points, 8 rebounds. Absolute weapon. But of course, SGA. 34, 8, and 5 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. He is absolutely unreal. He's went 14 of 27 from the floor, 6 of 6 at the line. Does it all boil down to the simple fact that the best player on one team, SGA, hit his free throws. The other best player on the other team, Luka Doncic, spent most of his time bitching and moaning and sooking and missing his free throws. Did it come down to that? Yes. It did. Sucked in. Anyway, series is tied 2-2. Love to see it. Exciting times. Let's do an NBA Stereo Approved performance of the night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
I would tell you what, that would be SGA because he hit his free throws. Simple as that. I just rattled it off. Like the 34 points, 5 assists, 8 rebounds, 14 of 27 shooting, the 2 blocks and the 2 steals. God, he plays his ass off. 14 of 27 shooting. He was unreal. Absolutely carried that team. At like, there were so many points of this game that OKC could have just gone, fuck, we're going to lose this one. They could just never get it quite close enough, right? But they always kept it within punching distance, and it was all because of SGA. Just the constant scoring all the way throughout the game. It's like he basically played Jalen Williams into like out of his cold stretch and into his good stretch again. Like, that's incredible. So great job by SGA. Love that. And Jason Tatum, look, if he doesn't come out with that absolute fuck you moment and just like at the start of the game and coming out as hot as he did, it actually just put the kibosh on any real sort of thought that Cleveland had of winning that game early. And that actually is what allowed Boston to shit their pants later on, right? Because it's like, oh, well, Tatum had 23 points in the first half. Yes, he only scored 10 in the second, which I tweeted out about earlier as well, right? It's like, yeah, ooh, Tatum has 23. He's playing awesome. Where's this end up? The answer was 10 points later, 33, 11, and 5. But the way that he came out and really put him to the sword was really important. It just like knocked Cleveland back on their heels a little bit, and it was really tough for them to recover. And they did, but then Boston bounced back. Anyway, good game by both. SGA, though, was absolutely immense. Who is Spud of the Night, Jim?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the Night.
Spud of the Night. Jalen Williams was 2 of 14, then hit a big shot late with 6.5 minutes to go and got going from there. So from 2 of 14 to end up actually at, what was it, the 5 of 19? Not bad. Did okay in the end. 5 of 19 is still pretty rough. But by the same token, Josh Giddey, 2 of 8 in 12 minutes. Brutal. He was a plus 6. I'll take that as a win. Obviously, I mentioned Isaac Okoro's 1 of 8 shooting night. Very, 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 very tough one for Isaac Okoro. 1 of 6 for Derek White. But come on, Spud of the Night, it's got to be Luka. The bitching, the moaning, the complaining, the sooking. Like, I have to, like, ask the 5-year-old to look, hey, quit your whinging. Just look. You got to focus on the things that matter and move on. He's 5. Luca, you're a grown-ass man. What are you doing? You're at home. Like, just fucking move on. 6 of 20 and then missing that free throw. If Dallas lose this series, and my thought has always been that they probably will, you have 6 made shots in this game. You have 7 turnovers. That is the absolute epitome of the Spud. 6 of 20. But really, the attitude is the Spud attitude. Oh, that was a foul. Then he gets to the fucking line and misses the free throw. Sucked in again. Boom. And obviously Kyrie, 4 of 11, 0 of 2 from downtown. 5 fouls, 1 turnover. Yeah, 5 fouls and 4 made shots. Not a great outing for Kyrie, but Luka, the biggest Spud of them all. Tough one. Just turning back into basically what a bit of FIFA bitching and moaning Latvian Luka. I hate to see it. No, Slovenian. What did I say? Latvian. That's the extreme zinger meal. Luka, the Slovenian. Anyway, old mate, no mates.
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 Old mate, no mates. Old mate, no mates. Who's got no mates today? Jalen Brown got titty slapped by Tatum, which is pretty funny. Just like slapped him. He was like, ow. God damn it. With like what, a minute ago, put them back up 8. He's like, what the hell was that? Ow. He's got slapped on the old did it. And then my favorite old mate, no mates, was Savannah. Savannah James. So LeBron James's missus. They introduced LeBron. They have this incredible highlight pack of Cleveland. There's a view, etc. Savannah's sitting there in this giant big fur hat. Just like they're giving him LeBron a standing ovation. It's bloody fantastic. And she's sitting there going, so when can we go the fuck home? I also love the idea that Savannah is just like, what are we doing here? But at the same time, I thought about it a second. Do you remember the video of like Jenny Buss and her mate? Like, oh, LeBron, look at your muscles. Oh, they're so big. Oh, my God. Oh, look at this picture on my phone. Oh, my God. Savannah saw that video. Was like, we're moving back to Cleveland. I can talk about that again later. But yeah. Savannah, just old mate, no mates, are like, oh, I fucking hate the Midwest. Like, she's like, I'm just so used to fucking LA. But God damn it, this idiot next to me hanging out with the team owner, bloody hell. Just probably doing rooting. Old mate, no mates as well. We could probably throw LeBron in there. He's like looking through all the messages on his phone and like, she's just like eyeballing his phone as well. It's like, yeah. Yep. Paul LeBron. Oh, make no mates. Pantsing in the night.
Fatty, fat, 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 fatty, fatty, fat, fat.
Ah, look how they murdered my boy. Josh Giddey left wide open for his threes and he can't make him pay. It's probably the toughest part of watching it. It's like, just hit it. Just hit. Oh, look, we all know basketball is a confidence game. And Josh is obviously like, it's so hard to sort of fight through that adversity of like, the team's playing mind tricks on you basically at this point, going, no, 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 shoot it. We don't give a fuck. Please, shoot the three. And he's like, I'll make him pay. I'll drive. And on the very first shot that he took, he drove and then backed it out again and took like a fucking step back mid-ranger, like long two. And you're like, that's not the shot you want to take. That's substantially worse. It rolled in, but yeah, not great. Anyway, but then he also got swatted by Derrick Jones Jr. pretty brutally. He's like, I've got a bucket. Hooray. Oh, fuck. So, yeah, Josh Giddey, completely pantsed. All right, what about a better than Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think he'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. I want to give this to Dort. 17 and 8. He only shot 4 of 14 and 3 of 10 from downtown, but 6 of 6 at the free throw line. Now, speaking of struggles at the free throw line, for him to go 6 of 6 while Luka went 4 of 6, sacked in, boom! Dort, the amount of defense he's playing, but also scoring 17 and having 8 rebounds and a block today was absolutely awesome. And we might just, Cason Wallace, 19 minutes. He was really bloody good and really important for this team. 2 of 2 from 3. That's all he did. He had one block as well. But it's like, he's dangerous. You got to cover him. So on a night where Isaiah, Joe, and Aaron Wiggins don't have it, he hit a couple of threes, made all the difference. And that is some better than Lonzo Ball vibes right there. And also, I was going to do a magic tweet of the day, but I sort of said this the other day. I think he might be on holiday. He and Cookie probably sailing around the Mediterranean with their friends because they sort of do that every year. Then we get all the awesome photo updates once he finally gets back into port. So here's me and my friends and cousin fucking Gerard or whatever. Claude, that's right, cousin Claude. So we'll get you a magic tweet of the day when we've got one. All right, till then, let's do some UNIs right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You listen to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do some NBA Australia. Yeah, nah, it's brought to you by the NBA Australia shop. Get your merch.
Bebo.
Get your merch, get your merch.
Wear it.
Get your merch, get your merch. Get your merch, get your merch.
Yeah, wear it. Go to NBAAustralia.com/shop or just click through on the socials. They're all right there. You can get a t-shirt like this one that I'm wearing right now or a hoodie or a stubby holder or one of the few remaining coffee mugs. Go check it out, NBAAustralia.com/shop. All right, let's do some yeah, nahs. Chandler Parsons, is he right? Is it all Tom Thibodeau's fault that the Knicks have got no players left? Chandler said, you know, noted grafter, real hard worker, Chandler Parsons. This is why that players poll came out with guys that don't want to play for Tom Thibodeau, because it doesn't last. He can't sustain it across a long season. So, Mitch Robinson, OG Anunoby, maybe the high workload played a bit of a role in their injuries, but Jalen Brunson tweaks his foot. Julius Randle falls on his shoulder. I mean, Bojan, that was like a hand injury. Like, I don't know if you can sort of go, oh, it's because Thibodeau's playing him all these minutes that they keep getting injured. I just don't agree with it. Yeah, nah. I think basketball players want to play basketball. Like, Josh Hart, he's playing like all of the fucking minutes, right? I think what it does, though, it probably shortens your career in the long run. Looking at you, Luol Deng. But hey, Luol Deng got paid. Jimmy Butler also now just can't play a full season, and Miami's just like, maybe you should piss off. Pat Riley's like, you know who I don't like? Basketball players who don't like playing basketball. Blah! You're like, all right, Pat Riley, back into your cupboard. There you go. Other good one. Wolves go 0-2 with Rudy Gobert. This stuff with Tower. He's back. Is he the problem? Yeah, no. It's Carl Anthony Towns' lack of a spine. Maybe. But Gobert, like, he's the defensive player of the year. And everyone's like, oh, geez, they're sadly worse defensively. But no, they're not. They're like plus 15.9 points per 100 possessions with Rudy on the floor these playoffs and minus 4.9 when he's off. That's a pretty big bloody swing. The old 11-point swing in favor of Rudy. I think he might be important to your defense. The weird part is, offensively, it does sort of like feel like Kat is just like, what am I meant to do again? It's like, you're the best big man shooter of all time, according to you. Hit some bloody shots, you idiot. Anyway. Jazz also had a couple of good ones as well. If Minnesota don't, he says, hey, buddy, what's up? Got a few yeah nahs for you. Number one, if Minnesota don't push the series to 7 games, is this season a failure? Yeah, nah. Yeah. If they go up 2-0 and then lose 4 straight to the Nuggets, it's like, God damn it. What did we do? So if they do push it to game seven, though, it is weird that you go, well, an entire season doesn't hang on one game.
But it does.
Like, it's crazy. Because if they just lose 4 straight out of nowhere, because Denver just go, well, we've fucking solved them. We've figured it out. Minnesota's going to be like, what do we do? God damn it. We look so awesome. Everybody was penciling us into the finals. We're going to win the title. Anthony Edwards is there saying this is the finals. Oh, God. If they don't get it to game 7, yeah, the season's a failure. The thing is, they could also win it in 6. So it could be on for young and old. Number 2. If Shaq had stayed at Orlando instead of chasing rings, he'd be talked about in the same breath as Kareem and Wilt. Yeah, nah, yeah. I think the big thing that works against Shaq is that he went from Orlando to the Lakers, won the titles in LA. If he had stayed in LA, I think he'd actually still be thought of in the same Kareem and Wilt vibes. Because remember, they also both didn't start with the Lakers, right? So there is scope there if Shaq had have just stayed in LA and put aside, like, as he said time and time again, like, he and Kobe were just idiots. And, like, the beef was stupid. They shouldn't have had it. Like, it shouldn't have come to that. Yes, he goes on to win one more ring with D-Wade in Miami. But if he had just stayed in LA, and maybe, just maybe, they, you know, scooch out one more title at some point, they sort of build around Kobe and Shaq one more time with some more young dudes. Who knows? Who knows? He definitely, like, 3-4 titles, he'd be right back up there. But because he goes to Miami, then he just bounces around, what, Phoenix, Cleveland, Boston. Yeah, it sort of just gets to a point where you're like, eh, that's not great. There was a really, really, really good idea out there floating around. Like, which player has had the most, like, which top 50 NBA player has also had the other most top 50 NBA players that they've played next to? And it's probably Shaq, right? Because he played with, like, Penny, Kobe, LeBron, who else? Like, there's heaps of them. D-Wade, obviously. Like, it just keeps on going. Like, Alonzo Mourning. Like, it's a lot of other players that he played next to that were really bloody good. But yeah, if he had stayed in Orlando or LA, I think we'd still look at Shaq's entire legacy completely different. But because he bounced around, sort of tarnished it. And then finally, I love that Jez was on my same wavelength, because this was actually going to be today's Outback Takehouse. So let's do an unpopular opinion of the day and we'll come back to it very easily. Because let's just do the unpopular opinion.
Now look at me, please. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
I know that it's impossible, but doesn't it feel like we should be able to roll over draft years? Like, you get the number one pick 1 year and you just go, I don't want it this year. I want it next year. And everyone should just go, hang on. Do we even need the draft this year? Like, you think about the Oladipo year. Just, like, send everybody back to school, or we just all put you on a retainer like you were drafted, like, 14th. So you all get paid, like, a rookie minimum scale for this year, and then you all go into the pool for next year's draft anyway, right? I kind of love the idea, because this year's draft looks like it stinks. But at the same time, I also just want everyone to remember, because we're all going to get excited when it gets near the draft. Your mate Jim's absolutely no different here. Remember just how bad this draft is likely to be as we all talk ourselves into it. You know, as you get within, like, a couple of weeks of the draft, it's like, oh, this guy is actually babbada. Like, Alexander Saar, fine. It seems like there's just a bunch of dudes who are fine. They could be awesome. They could pop. But we just don't know. Just roll over the draft. I love it. Anyway, let's lean into the Outback Takehouse, though, that combination of myself and Jez. I love this. It's Tuesday at Outback, and you know what that means? Oh, yeah. That's right. The Squids and I are on the way to, daycare and school, doing the drop-off playoff picks for NBA Australia. I've got one squid in the pram. He's sitting there with just the cricket bat, just going whoopang. And the other one's on his scooter with a cricket bat as well. Guess what? In the mornings, those magpies are a bit bloody loud. They take care of that. So, on your specials board today at Outback Takehouse, magpie wings. Fresh from the streets of Brunswick. And it's only at Outback. And today's flag grill take is, considering how weak this draft is going to be, the Atlanta Hawks should draft Bronny James, number one overall. Because that way you get LeBron, apparently. And boom, away you go. Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, Jalen Johnson, Clint Capella, Onyeka Okongwu, Bogdan Bogdanovich, Bronny James, and LeBron James. Let's make it happen. Get it sorted, Landry Fields. And it's only at Outback. I love it because Jez had this. Atlanta should do this with the number one pick. And I was like, literally an Outback Takehouse. I was like, Atlanta, if this draft is so bad, because that's why I had the unpopular opinion of the day. If this draft is so bad, they should just take Bronny James number one and go get LeBron as well. Only at Outback. Prove me wrong, Hawks. Prove me wrong. All right. Quick Australian Player Watch right after this.
This is Shane Heal, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Australian Player Watch is always pretty easy at the moment because it's just the one game. I've already gone through Josh Giddey's 12 minutes, 2 of 8 shooting, 1 of 3 from downtown. 5 points, 2 assists, a steal, a block, 2 turnovers. A plus 6, though, in a game they won by 4. Pretty handy in 12 minutes. On the other side, Josh Greeny-Green, 1 of 4 shooting, 1 of 3 from downtown. He had 3 points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds, and 1 steal. Not bad. Greeny also missed a couple of those threes that would have been real bloody handy late for the Mavs, just saying. Dante hit a big three as soon as he came in. He had 5 points and 1 assist, 2 of 4 from the floor, 1 of 1 from downtown. Just play more. He played 5 minutes. You can't tell me that Dante Exum, as the Thunder are running right over the top of you, would not help just a little bit. Like, they're doing these weird sub-patterns with Kyrie and Luka. Always a kick in the dick for your team if, like, your two best players, you sub out offense and defense and they both go out. Yikes. Anyway, that's Australian Player Watch. Let's do an NBA, what is it? NBA Australia Andrew Gaze Award, Graham Umber Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence.
Andrew Gaze, Grey Mamba.
All right, easy one today. It's the combination of Luke Longley Award as well, because PJ Hamilton Washington has just won it again. He won it last week, but he had 20 and 10 with 5 made threes. There's 3 dudes in Dallas Mavericks playoff history who have ever done that. It's a bloke named Dirk Nowitzki, another dude named Luka Doncic, and now PJ Washington. That's awesome. But also, it's crazy to think that, like, in terms of the role player of the week award, it is insane how important he's become to that team. While Kyrie's just completely off with the clouds, doing seemingly fucking nothing. And Luka is too concerned with, like, trying to fight a ref, I think, to basically get his head screwed on, right? And it's costing his team. Meanwhile, PJ Hamilton Washington and fucking Derek Jones Jr. are like, yo, we're trying to win a game. Can you just shut up and fucking concentrate, Luka? He's like, ah, don't like anybody, fucking. All right. All right, buddy. All right, what about a Patty Mills game day, Baller Game Day Twitter check-in? All right. That's the wrong button. That one. not used to the board. Let's do it. Patty Mills, Patty Thrills. That's right. He's at Finca's Coffee. That looks pretty bloody good. Don't know where that is, but it's good. Patty does love his coffee. Hanging out somewhere. Looks pretty bloody tropical, does Patty? Hanging out with a mate. DJ Sackman. All right, cool. Then a couple of mopeds. Nice one. Then he's doing some workouts, stretching, getting ready to take the Boomers to gold, no doubt. Look at him. Looking good, Patty. God damn, he's got a million stories. Turkey burger with almond rice, turmeric yellow soup, spring salad. It's his lunch, eh? Doing some yoga. God, that's some good stretching. I've got to get back in to doing stretches. Jesus. Your mate Jim's a bit taut. Like a toiger. Right, let's do some game previews. Love a good Paddy stretch out yoga story, so go check it out. Game previews. Thanks inadvertent, Bane.
Not a problem, Jim. How's it all going?
I mean, sure. It certainly is. One or two on the picks today because the Celtics did not cover. I did nail the OKC pick, however. So we went 2-2 yesterday, 1-2 today. Pretty bloody good little run. It's at 6 of 8. Pretty cool. Tomorrow we have Indy visiting the New York Knickerbockers of New York City. This game is going to be gnarly. Game 5 at MSG. It is a kitchen sink game for the Knicks, isn't it? It's like, fuck. This would be over if we lose this game. So I'm very tempted to get Brunson, give Brunson like just basically a massive boost and go, I think he'll be all right. -2.5 for the Knicks at home. I think they can do it. Give me the Knicks. I think between Hart, Brunson, and DiVincenzo. The problem is, we might be just simply overlooking the fact they lose OG and Anobi, right? Games 3 and 4, they get steamrolled in Indy for game 4. It was only, 38 hours or whatever, basically after the other game had finished. Tough one. They come home for game 5. Will they be boosted by the MSG crowd? Probably. Indy. They're going to be feeling pretty bloody confident. And OG, just without him and being out, you know, out there, and his ability to sort of slow down Pascal Siakam. I don't really like it that much. So, I don't know. 2.5 for the Knicks. This is basically a Jalen Brunson pick, where it's like, I think he just scores 45, and they fall over the line somehow. Their defense is just good enough. I am worried, though. I think Indy could probably win that. The other one is Minnesota at Denver. This is a fascinating game, isn't it? We've seen Minnesota win already twice in Denver. Denver don't often lose at home. That's their vibe. 4.5 points, however, for this Dallas team. For Denver. I mean, that is pretty crazy, I feel. A 4.5-point line. Minnesota have just looked all out of sorts the last couple of games. Can they bounce back? I'm going to say they do. I think Minnesota don't have that much fear, right, of actually being there in Denver. I think Denver could win this, but it might be the one game this series that feels really, really close, right? So we've got 106.99 for the Wolves in game 1. 106.80 for the Wolves in game 2. Then the Nuggets by 27 in game 3, and the Nuggets by 8 in game 4. Feel like we're going to get a bit of a thriller. So give me Minnesota +4.5 because I feel like Minnesota could also win a third game in Denver. But I trust Denver to pull it out of absolutely nowhere and just hold on for like a 4-point win and cover that line. And there we'll go. Should be an absolute cracker though. So Minnesota +4.5, New York -2.5. We'll see how we go on the daily drop-off picks tomorrow morning. See if anything's changed. But until then, that's it for today. We'll be back on deck tomorrow. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, IG. We're all over the socials. That's where we're at. We've got all those videos popping off. It's very fun. Get around the AFL Today show as well. We are doing lots of footy, and it's great. If you love your Aussie rules, get right around the AFL Today show, as well as NFL Australia Cricket Today podcast, Football Today podcast as well. You can see them all on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, whatever app you use on an Android phone. Like, review, star, subscribe. All the good stuff. YouTube, especially for AFL Today and NBA Australia. We're putting all these shows up. Go check them all out. NBAAustralia.com/shop. Get your merch. And a big thanks always go to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Check out House Hats, Joshua De La Rentis, Fascinated Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa Section, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. They all rule. And you can smash them on Bandcamp, Triple Down Earth, Facey, Apple Music, Spotify. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands, so should you. We'll close out today's show with a very brief deli review, because why the bloody hell not? That's a good question, Jim, but I think it's going to be the gentleman. Why not? All right, we'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would ya? And later, Hosanna! Oi, how you going? It's your old mate, deli from just hanging out, man. I've just had a few tins, just chilling, man. Bit of off-season gear, just on holidays, eh? It's just like fucking, yeah, man. I just want to chill out and just like not think about basketball for a bit and shit. And it's like, oh, yeah, bro. Been watching my Pies win lots of footy games and shit. And you're like, yeah, this is pretty great. And then you just like, hang on. What's going on back over here? And like the misso's like, nah, we're gonna watch some more tally and stuff, eh? Because you've been watching too much footy. And I'm like, oh, but I'm on holidays and sinking tins, bro. And she's like, shut up, idiot. I'm like, all right, well played. So it was Mother's Day, and I'm like, look, we went all out for her, and like, old mate, she loved it, just like 1 million flowers and shit. Yeah, it was real good. And then she was like, hey, do you want to watch this movie? It's got like that Sydney Sweeney chick in it. I'm like, fucking yes, mate. Let's go. I mean, yeah, that sounds like a good plan for Mother's Day and stuff. Because we just finished watching The Gentleman, like that telly show that's based on the movie, The Gentleman, and it was sick ass. So if you haven't watched that already, I think that gets like 20 out of 10 deli ones because it was like real bloody funny and good and stuff and like psycho and like pretty sick. But then, yeah, it was like the other chick, what I was talking about, Anyone But You for Mother's Day. And I'm like, I have no idea what's going on with this movie. It's like, I got that bloke who looks like every other bloke who's ever existed. What's his name? Glenn Powles. He was in like that new Top Gun and stuff. And I was just sitting there going, no, I just love Sydney Sweeney, man. Like, this movie's awesome. And old mate, she's just like, you're really into this, eh? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm really following the story. I don't know what happened in this movie, but it was really good. I'm all about Sweeney's cans. I'm just all about, I mean, tins. Nah, not talking about a cans or nothing. Don't hit me, please. But yeah, good movie. I'll give it like 16 out of 10 deli ones. I still couldn't tell you what happened in that movie. I still don't know what Glenn Powell does or what he says or how he does anything or what he does. But yeah, Sydney Sweeney, two thumbs up and a third thumb up, if you know what I'm saying. Oh, just being cheeky. All right, there you go. That's it for the pop culture this week. I'll catch you next time. Might have a few more tins. Later, fuckos. Deli out.